Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I mean, honestly, is there a radio show that is more involved and more on top of what goes on with our Falcon football team? Is right. there a radio show that's up there every week? Is there a radio show where both hosts, independently of what they do for a living, have season tickets? Is there a radio? I mean, honestly, is that what you believe?
No, I mean, I think there's a couple of schools of thought when it comes to Falcon fandom. You got the hardcore fans who don't want to hear anything negative about the team. And there's always going to be that type of fan for every team in town. And that's fine. I'm not that kind of fan. I grew up with my dad being a big sports fan, and part of being a joy of a fan was to love what works and complain about what doesn't, and express your feelings and commiserate with other fans about, oh, this stinking offensive line, or, oh, that guy. That's part of, to me, at least that's the Northeast sensibility of being a fan. I don't know if it's the same everywhere. I've been here 20 years, you know. I mean, I think people root the way they root. But when we point out what's not working, we're not hating on a player. We're not hating on the team. We're just saying this guy's got to do a better job. This guy's got to this play has to happen. So I don't know. Sometimes it comes out, as you said, comes out our mouth, and then they hear it a certain way.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, look, I've been around the NFL here in Atlanta 20 years. I've seen teams look awful, look dead in the water, and then put it together. 16, we weren't exactly lights out to start the season, if you remember. So certainly, guys, if we lose two more games, yes, I will throw up my hands and go, we're dead in the water. But right now, we still have a bunch of NFC games to play, and there's nobody in the NFC except for the Rams who's blowing anybody away. You could still conceivably get to the wild card, let alone a division, if the Saints and Carolina lose some more games.
Yeah, it looks daunting. And don't get me wrong, it is. I mean, this is why the start of the season is such a big deal. And, you know, you don't want to be 1-4 or 0-5 for that mm-hmm. matter. But it is not something that can't be overcome. The thing that I guess I'm pointing out is it's just funny to me to see some of the reaction and how people respond to what we do or say in certain situations. Here's the thing I want you guys to understand, and we may go about it a different way. But the ultimate goal for Mike and I and for you and all of us who support all of our teams here in the ATL is we want winners. We want championships, and we demand perfection. Now, if the team is not good enough, and I'll give you an example. This is not a shocking statement I'm about to make. Hawks are not a championship team yet. Okay? They're not. They may be in a couple of years. Now, I think they're going to be fun to watch, but they are in a different situation than where our Falcons and currently where our United are, all right? Currently where Georgia is. Mm-hmm. There is an expectation because of what they've been able to do, and certainly with the Falcons over the last couple of years being in the playoffs, you know, when nobody thought they'd get back after the Super Bowl thing, I think, guys, the expectation is here. And so when it's there, our demand for us as fans to say, hey, we need to be better in these areas, and how it comes out, however it comes out. So right. I'm just responding to that because it makes me laugh, like almost, well, you're being contrarian. No, we're trying to be honest with you. And sometimes, as I've said, Mike, that hurts people's feelings.
Right. So, I mean, there's certain things that, like, right now are real. The backups aren't up to snuff. You know, and the way I described it earlier is if you think a guy who's making $400,000 or $500,000, whatever the league minimum is, can do the job that a guy who's getting a multi-year, you know, $7 or $8 million deal, they can't. There's a reason why one guy's a Pro Bowler, one guy's a backup. Now, look, maybe Duke Riley in 2 or 3 years, when he's a Pro Bowler, we'll all laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Remember 18? I don't see it. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think he's a perennial backup. I think he'll be a good special teamer. He's a good guy. I don't think he's got the requisite vision, anticipation, or instincts to play the linebacker position he's being asked to play right now. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm hating on the guy. I hope he gets better, you know? I mean, look, we don't sit in the press box eating free hot dogs. We pay our freight. We pay for the tickets. And number one thing about it is Homer Simpson says, it's my right to be a blank hole.
404.
And bellyache about everything.
741-0929. You can do that. By the way, big shout out to Craig today, man. You know, producing the show. He's our engineer today. Bo's actually producing the show behind the scenes. But we've not had a chance to shout out to those guys. Got to give Bo credit. And he was quiet about it last week. His Florida Gators beat LSU. It was a crazy college football weekend. I thought Florida State was going to win when I saw the score, when it flashed up. And I, like I said, I was out of town. I'm like, oh, And I texted you. I was like, I can't believe this. And then you hit me back, and we're like, yeah, but they blew it.
Yeah, DeAndre Francois has been basically a floor mat for the Miami Hurricanes for the last couple of years. He didn't get to play him last year because he blew his knee out against Bama. But he was in the medical tent all last year in that game, or 2 years ago at Hard Rock. And eventually, I think the pressure finally got to him. He never saw the linebacker on the pick. He fumbles two turnovers inside the red zone, Carl, in less than a minute, and that's all she wrote. So, Coach Taggart, it's a lot of soul-searching for this team. It doesn't get any easier. They got games with Notre Dame and Clemson on the way.
Fight, Texas, fight! Oh, I'm sorry. I had a flashback over the weekend. I apologize.
Now, for a long-suffering Texas fan, how much fun were you having on Saturday?
That felt good, man.
Best game of the year in college football?
So far, back and forth, to think that Oklahoma gets back in it. By the way, they fire Mike Stoops. You didn't hear their defensive coordinator.
Boy, Lincoln Riley goes Michael Corleone on his, you know, Bob Stoops, you know, brought him in, and he basically goes to Tom Hagen. You're out, Tom. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, Lincoln Riley? If you don't find the right guy, then it's on you.
No doubt. They gave up more points than they've given up to Texas in this rivalry. So it was one of those things where you go, well, that's not good. And then you go back and look at the last two games. Oklahoma has struggled defensively. They're giving up a ton of yards. Either way, Mike, it was a great college football weekend. The Dogs win. Before we get to our top three, Kirby says, guys, they were playing undisciplined, a little bit sloppy. They had a bunch of penalties. But, you know, it's one of those things that, for Dog fans, I think when you dominate Vandy the way you did, and then you look at the score, you go, well, we won. That's the big deal. Kirby's thinking about down the road. Kirby's thinking about Alabama and potentially Ohio State, right, or Clemson, or maybe even a Notre Dame. He's right. You got to get these things cleaned up. The team is very good, and they're talented, Mike. But, you know, Georgia, for what it's worth, I agree with him. Some of these penalties might cost you in a game where the talent on the other side is a lot better. And Georgia Tech, we mentioned, guys, they played early on Thursday night. Big win for them, I thought. We've been hard on Georgia Tech. Here you go now. You beat Bowling Green at home. You go on the road. You beat Louisville.
You beat them like a drum. I mean, put 60 up there on the road. When the offense works, no one debates the brilliance of it. It's when you get into a conference play and you get down a touchdown, or it's down, you know, 10 points or more. You know, can you come back and be able to throw the ball effectively? But, I mean, that's why I picked Georgia Tech. I said, now watch the way Paul Johnson's arc will go. Now watch to put a run on and win five games.
Well, it'd be nice to see. I certainly was not impressed with the D to start the season. It's gotten better. And then, you know, obviously he said we're going to get better at quarterback. And they have. They've gotten better. Hey, it's a Falcons Monday. It's powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. And we invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. 929 The Game is the radio station. Follow us. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell. Top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, let's start with the Falcons and Coach Quinn. What was his message to the team? Because, you know, everybody wonders, right? Like, Oh, man, that was ugly. Coach, what'd you say?
You're in a slump, you know, and how do you get out of it? You fight your ass off to, you know, get your technique right and get organized right, because you're the one that'll do it. So oftentimes we'll look and say, what needs extra attention, what needs extra time? And that's usually where we put some of our focus on, to say this part of our game's not up to the standard, or this part of our, you know, system isn't, you know, functioning like it should. So that's where we look first.
Okay. Mike and I will be there Wednesday. We'll talk to Coach and hopefully get a chance to visit with some guys. Again, the demeanor of the team is not one that has been defeated. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that'll be the case moving forward, and especially with a big division game coming up on Sunday.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, we talked about it, you know, speaking, I guess we're being contrarian, but I said it on Twitter. You know, I heard people on Twitter, oh, the Falcons have quit. How would you know? You play any sports? I mean, you know, the idea, no, they haven't, nobody has quit, just they're not good enough, okay? They're not blocking, they're not tackling, they're not making adjustments from the coaching staff. But that's not a quit. Okay, that's the Steelers coming in, having a better plan and executing it, and you couldn't counterpunch. But that's not a quit, okay? We've seen teams that have quit. You know, they're 2006 with Mike Vick. That's a quit. This isn't a quit.
Good call. Well, the coach quit, then the team. Here's the other thing.
Well, that was Petrino. That was 07.
Oh, that's right. That's the next year.
Bobby quit
that's
on that.
That's right.
One.
Yeah, Bobby quit. Hey, here's another thing about the Falcons. Dan Quinn admitting today that Matt Ryan did have an X-ray on his foot. Everything is okay. I'm only bringing this up because I know there have been various reports out there, and some people are like, oh, he's hurting. They're not saying it. He addressed it today. He says Matt Ryan is okay. He's 100% and ready to go moving forward.
All right, so if Dan says he's okay?
He's okay.
Okay. He's okay. Grady Jarrett, maybe not okay. It looks like Thursday, they said, and Dan said in the press conference, that they're going to hopefully see what he can do and then have a better evaluation. But, man, got to have Grady out there. He's pushing hard. They won't know till Thursday, said DQ.
All right, guys. Story number two, it's the Braves. Currently, right now, as we speak, bottom of the fifth, Braves lead 2-1. Mike, how did they get there?
Unbelievable, man. Clutch from Kurt Suzuki, and it was a pinch hit. Two-run pinch hit in for Fulte. So Fulte's out, gave one earned run up, and now it's Johnny Venters who's come in and did a decent job so far. But 2-1 Atlanta off a two-run single for Kurt Suzuki as a pinch hitter. How about that from Zook?
Yeah, it was a big spot. And a guy just asked me, I think it's Mark on Twitter, why did they pull Fulte so fast? I think Fulte was battling through some of these at-bats. And I think he got – I haven't looked, guys, but I think he got his pitch count up a little bit.
But also they want to produce a run.
Absolutely.
I mean, even with two outs, they went for the pinch hit. That's why Fulte – unless you want to have Fulte out there with guys on second and third, my friend. Again, I'm not trying to be condescending, but again, they want to try to create a run because this is an elimination game.
Well,
and you knew that Fulte would be on a short leash anyway.
Yes, Mike, but everybody's not aware of maybe how the game works. So we're trying to explain to make sure everybody is aware.
You know
aware.
What? Maybe I'll just be a blank hole all day today.
Because it's been a while since we've been in the playoffs.
Yeah, Schleprock, okay, yes. Fulte got pulled because they wanted him to not bat with runners on second and third to try to knock in runs. And then Suzuki did it. And that's why Fulte is now in the showers.
Why are you talking like that?
I do not know.
Get out those Italian leather seats.
I am talking to the listeners the way my father would talk to me when I was doing stupid stuff as a child.
Why are you talking like that? Hey, real quick, let's get to, before we give you some money, Atlanta United win. Great win against New England. What about this kid, Bello, man?
Yeah, George Bello, for those who don't know, family, kid migrated from Africa. Unbelievable to see this kid at 16. A left-footed goal, by the way. And then, I mean, the crowd went bananas. The crowd goes bananas when you hear him introduced. When they introduce the 11 and you hear that Bello's in there, everybody gets fired up. So he now is one of the youngest guys to score a goal in MLS. Was he fourth now, Craig? What's the where's he tally? Because I don't think.
Fourth when it comes to age-wise.
Age-wise. Unbelievable performance.
He tallies fourth. Here's Bello.
LGP takes the free kick quickly, bounces it down to Bello on the edge of the 18. He'll walk in and shoot. Score!
It's amazing. I really haven't, I don't think it has settled down in me yet, but in a few hours I'm probably going to be going crazy. So it's just a great feeling. And then to be able to help the team to progress in the playoffs and positioning is even greater. So
good deal, man. It's fun to watch this young man grow. By the way, top three at six brought to you by Dixie Vodka. It's football season, duh. And that means tailgating. A true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. That's DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South.
And unfortunately, we gave up a goal late, but we did get to the win against New England. So we're going to go to the wire, I think, for the Supporter Shield. I know that the Red Bulls won as well, so we kind of expected that. But I thought the crowd energy was great. People fired up. I mean, I just cannot wait for the playoffs. Unfortunately, Miggy goes out, and we don't know if it's a hamstring injury or a bruise to his hamstring. The way he was acting and his anguish, and he was holding his face and he was kicking as he was basically walking to the bench. I'm like, oh, did he blow his knee out? What happened? Haven't got the definitive word. We'll talk to Jason Longshore later in the week and also get the word from Darren Eales if we can. But I would imagine if it's something that's going to give us some discomfort, no Miggy for the remaining couple of games.
Mm. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
shock. Shock and awe. You remember that?
Yeah, man.
Shock. All right. S-H-O-C-K. That is the word. Now text that to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right now playing our $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest.
The word is shock.
Shock, 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 shock.
Shock the monkey. Hey, shock, guys, to 72881. Shock. It's the final chance today for you to score a grand in the signing bonus contest. Text that word and look for a phone call from our buddies at the radio station.
All right, man. We got plenty more to get to. As a matter of fact, we will talk more about what Devondre Campbell had to say today. If you missed it during the player segment, talking about our defense. And we'll evaluate some of the things we saw. It's coming up next. It is Dukes and Bell.
Mush.
Braves having a chance to really blow this thing open. Bases juiced. We'll keep you updated right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we've been talking about the Falcons today, guys, and, you know, the next game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, Mike, you did an interview down there today on Tampa Bay Radio. You know, I think Dirk Cutter, our former head coach, Mike Smith, who's their DC, and I think Jameis Winston, who has now been, you know, reinstalled, I guess, as the starting quarterback, they all got something to prove. Because you get off to the start with Fitzmagic, and now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's going, all right, well, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. But remember, Jameis, and I want to just, you know, say this because I know we think they're not that good, and I think that Mike's right when he talks about the defense and being able to maybe score some points against them on Sunday. But Jameis, Mike, this is a contract year for him in the sense that there's $20 million on the table next year on an option that they're going to pick up.
Right.
And I don't know if Tampa Bay's front office and you know, GM Light and everybody there is sold on the fact that he is the guy, that he is going to be the long-term franchise guy with the issues that they've had and some of the inconsistency. And remember, we've said this. I thought Dirk Cutter and Jameis's future were like this. If they, you know, if he played well, Cutter was going to be there a long time. If he didn't, I didn't think Cutter would be, and maybe Jameis would, or maybe they'd move on. So I just think there's a lot at stake for them moving forward. We said at the beginning of the year we thought this was a must-win season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, this is a big game for them as well.
Yeah, the Fitzpatrick thing plateaued and then cratered the way you thought it would. And a lot of people thought, look, Cutter's going to roll the dice, whoever gives him a chance to win, and they were going to be the big story for a minute. Now you see what they are. And they've played one less game than us. They've already had their bye. That's why Jameis now coming off the bye week. They've scored, or they've allowed more points than anyone in the NFL. They're averaging just under 35 points a game. Mm. And guess who's right next to them?
Us.
Yeah. And we're a tick just under 33 points a game. We're 32.6. The Bucs are 34.8. Their run defense is better than their pass defense, but not by much. Their pass defense is the worst in the NFL. So we should, I think, you see a lot of what we saw against the Bengals. You know, I think we'll be able to run the ball, but can we run the ball enough to keep them honest? Because they are a little bit better at stopping the run. And then there's Jameis. Now, here's the thing. This is a game where you really want a guy like Debo, Deion Jones in there, because if Jameis starts to pick him up and put him down, you got Debo to go track him down. Do you trust Duke Riley if Jameis gets in the flat?
I trust him to get there. I need to trust him to make the play.
Well, he's got
to
get him on the ground.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's okay to go and go by him. You got to get him on the ground. So let's hope that we're able to contain Jameis. But it is obviously a big game in the division. And if we get to 2-4, and we'll just start inching our way back up. You got a Giants team, which, again, it's in our house. Last couple times we played the Giants here, good things for us. So let's just, you know, be patient. And it's tough because I get it. I mean, I'm screaming at the television just like you and Carl, everybody else out there watching that stuff yesterday.
Let's hear from Devondre Campbell, guys. He was the player segment today on the Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wes Durham and Dave Archer sitting down with Devondre, asking him, what's the mindset of the team right now?
The biggest thing right now is we try not to get down on ourselves because the score may have indicated that we got blown out, but a lot of the stuff that happened was like self-inflicted. You know, like a lot of the third down plays that, you know, if we get off the field, you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't happen, you know, because they got first downs on some of those drives that resulted in touchdowns. So a lot of the stuff that happened is very correctable, and we just have to make sure that we actually correct it and not just talk about it more than anything.
That's a great point in correcting stuff. Devondre Campbell with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Dan Quinn Coach's Show, Player Spotlight. Okay, so what is in your mind, and probably as a group, what are you guys most disappointed in that you know you can fix? You just said you can fix it. What's the most disappointing part about what transpired yesterday?
Kind of just what you said. When you know what's about to happen in a certain situation and you don't make the play, you know, as a defense, that's very demoralizing. When you know, like, okay, it's third and long. This is all the possible things that they can do. And then they do something out of those possible options and you don't stop it. Like, that's very frustrating. And it's controllable things. It's not anything that they did that we didn't know was going to happen. So that's what's more frustrating than anything.
Devondre, this is a different feeling for you now, having 3 years in the bank, so to speak, than it was maybe a couple of years ago when you guys, or a year ago. Mentally, is this a different deal for you to go through something like this than it was before?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely different. We've had a lot of success since I've been here. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those situations where it's very unfamiliar for a lot of people. But it's also a good thing because I'm glad you know, I'm actually glad that something like this is happening. You know, like, we're going through a lot of adversity, and it just really kind of shows, well, not now, but it's going to show who we are as a team and what kind of character we have, you know, just how we go about it and, you know, the way we respond, really.
You know, it's interesting because you bring that up. Your role has also evolved, mm-hmm. not just in 3 years, but your role's evolved this year too.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Debo being down and Keanu and certainly Ricardo a couple of weeks ago, take Arch and I through that. I mean, what's it been like for you personally to kind of see things change here in the last month or so?
I wouldn't say it's too much of a big change. Just being asked to do a few different things. It's not anything that they don't think I can do or I don't think I can do or they wouldn't ask me to do it. So it's a little bit of a difference, and it's an adjustment with anything that's different. But I just feel like we just have to continue to get better, and I have to trust the process. We have to trust it as a team and don't try to go out and do too much because, you know, when you do that, that's when things get worse.
I always thought that as a player in my day when – and I lived through a lot more of these than you've had to so far. We struggled here a number of times. I remember a number of times looking up and saying, are we going to get a win? So the thing that I would always – I always kind of hung my hat on is the message the same from the coach? Because a lot of times when things start to change with the coach, then you kind of sense maybe they're panicking too. That's got to be kind of a good feeling knowing it's this, when you come in, it's the same message. You just got to go fix the things that you guys are doing wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing that I love about DQ. You know, he's not coming in this panicky mode like, man, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to change all these different things. It's just a few coaching points on offense, a few coaching points on special teams and defense. And it's all true. You know, he's not saying nothing out of the blue that we don't already know. It's just things that we have to be a lot more aware of, and we have to just correct them. You know, like, there's no sugarcoating around it. We just got to correct them. And if we don't, it's going to be a long season.
Devondre Campbell with us, the Falcons linebacker, now in his third season out of Minnesota, grew up in Florida, of course, and everybody always says, well, man, Devondre Campbell, you know, played Minnesota, he must not be used to it. I'm like, whoa, hang on, guy grew up in Florida, let's take it easy on the cold weather transition. You have, and you touched on this a little bit, that yesterday's ball game probably not indicative of just a few plays here or there.
Yep.
And I mentioned that to people. Arch and I oftentimes get asked by fans, okay, man, well, that was a tough day. Well, it really comes down to what, 4 or 5 snaps a ball game?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yesterday's ball game got decided in maybe about 4 or 5 plays. And in those 4 or 5 plays, some of them were touchdowns and some of them were just – drive extending plays that end eventually resulted in touchdowns. So it's not always what you think, like, oh, they just, the ball was going over our head all day, or they were breaking 50-60 yard runs all day. Nah, that's not what happened. Like, they just made a few more plays in crucial situations, and that's kind of the tail of the tape of yesterday.
Yeah, I think I can pick out a couple plays in my mind, and they're not all on the defensive side of the ball. There were some things that went wrong. Obviously, the 3rd and 13 with about 6:40 left in the third quarter when Connor catches the screen pass. Yeah. You guys are in an 8-man drop. I know that Brooks would step in, fake an A-gap come, and then all of a sudden you got 8 people in the, and you got a number of guys there to make the tackle. You just don't make the tackle. You had talked about that. I mean, you look on the other side of the ball, and I know you don't pay attention to that side. I mean, you get an opportunity where Mohamed Sanu, we're in a 3rd and short situation. We go to Wildcat, and we jump offside. And the next play, Ryan gets sacked. So it's not just on one side of the ball. So when you think about it from a leadership standpoint, and you said you can pay all the lip service you want to it, and that ain't going to get it done. It's going to be physically going and taking care of it. But you do have a lot of young, inexperienced guys. You are a young, experienced guy. What do you say to those guys that maybe are starting to hear some of the noise? Because you guys are going to have to circle the wagons because everybody's jumping off the bandwagon
right now.
Yeah,
definitely.
So what do you say to those young guys to say, hey, you know, let that do what it's going to do. We got what we got to do in here.
I mean, my message to them is just do what you do. I mean, don't listen to what everyone says, because in a time like now when things aren't going well, everyone's going to have an opinion on how – you should do things differently or how you should fix it, but you can't listen to everybody, because if everybody could do it, they would, you know, like, just do what you do and don't try to go out and do anything more than that, because that it can only get worse.
It's funny. We talk about you and Deion and Keanu as guys who've only been in this league, you know, 3 years. You got a lot of miles, though, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, do you ever think in my pro football career I could be 3 years in and be playing as much as you've played?
Honestly.
You hope it, I guess, right?
Honestly, I can't say I expected this. It's actually a blessing, you know, like just to be in year three and to be able to play and have as much experience as I do. It really is a blessing, you know, because it can be a lot different. Like I've seen guys in my position that don't have as much experience or don't get the opportunity that I do. So I really just try to make the most of it every chance I get.
All right, let's shift gears. You have not seen or looked at Tampa yet this year. You guys have been trying to adjust to what you saw yesterday against Pittsburgh. You know Tampa, though. You play them twice a year. This will be the fifth time you've gotten a chance to line up against this crowd. Jameis Winston's going to be back at quarterback. Yep. You've played against him. But it's a divisional game, and regardless of what they're going to do from an offensive standpoint, give me an importance level, and you know, people are going to say must win, all these kind of things. What is your guys' mindset? Let's get Pittsburgh out of the way. That's gone. Mm-hmm. Make the adjustments. What's this game mean to you guys? What do you guys need to do to get it done?
It's the next game. We take it day by day and week by week, and they're the next opponent on a long schedule. So we just have to take it as it is. You know, worry about them and what they do well, and just really try to take it by day and just get our game plan set in. Like, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, that's just everyone as a whole, we have to stick together and just continue to build. I mean, we going to get it right.
It's funny because we always hear DQ talk about the process. Mm-hmm. It's important to stay in the process, right?
Yes, yes. Win, lose, or draw. You have a process, and the process that we've been through, we've won many games with it. And just because we have something going on right now, that don't mean we have to change it. We just have to continue to do what we do. And I think the biggest thing is just the details of it. Like, in some situations, that's what it is with us. That's what the case has been lately. Like, details waver here and there. It's not 10 guys messing up. It may be one guy messing up, and that team exploiting that one guy's mistake. So I just think we all have to, 11 men every play, take it play by play, that good or bad, next play mentality.
Well, the one thing I will say real quickly about Devondre Campbell, I know a lot of fans will get a chance to see, this guy is a fiery, hard-nosed competitor. He's taken a very cerebral, Monday look at what happened yesterday. No reason to lose your mind now. What he's going to do is he's going to build, and I've always admired about you, and I've had a chance to be around you quite a bit, is, believe me, they will be locked and loaded this weekend, and I know that the fans don't want to hear lip service. They're not going to do lip service. They'll be ready to go. Appreciate your time, brother. Appreciate
yes, sir.
You.
I appreciate you.
Thanks,
guys, Trey.
All right, Devondre Campbell with us in the Player Spotlight. The Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday from Flowery Branch. Stay tuned. More Falcons Monday coming up on Sports Radio 92.9.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
Real quick reminder, Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. It is our game winner. And we were just in here talking with Conti. It's kind of funny to reminisce about all these great moments. Man, we've been lucky, I think.
Right.
Whether it's because we're in this business and been able to cover some of these events, or just as sports fans being able to be at some of them.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a championship moment, but maybe it was like the coolest. For, like, I've got a bunch of Georgia fans who were out at the Rose Bowl for the comeback, and then the Sony Michel run to beat Oklahoma last year. And that's when the Georgia fans, unfortunately, obviously didn't end with the championship. But winning that Rose Bowl game where Oklahoma had them down the way they did, that was an electric moment. So, again, I was just telling Mike Conti, got to see Mike Richter stop Pavel Bure in Vancouver in the 94 Stanley Cup Finals. That went seven games, by the way. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a winner. But last night, Acuna and the crowd reaction, place was bananas. To hear the tomahawk chop, first you get Newcomb walked on four pitches by Bueller, which had everyone freaking out, and then Acuna goes yard. Electric moment.
It really was, man. I think you were there, too. Weren't you at the first Patriots Super Bowl when they kicked the field goal, when Vinatieri kicked the field goal?
You and I were down there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know? I came home. I didn't stay for the game. I was home, but, okay. Yeah, that was something.
I was there for that. For me personally, it would be the Rose Bowl, obviously. Vince Young running in against USC. in 05. That was just incredible, and it's one of the all-time great sports moments ever. What's yours is the question.
Right. So let's hear it, guys. 404-741-0929. Bravos, unfortunately, they stranded the bases loaded, couple of pop-outs. And then just now, the first time I think in this playoff, Carl, we said, what if Dansby was there? Charlie Culberson unable to come up with a grounder up the middle. Would have been a tough play, but I think Dansby's got the range to come up with it. Would have ended the inning, and the Dodgers take a 3-2 lead on a two-run single.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to this bloop single that falls in between Markakis and Ozzie. And you're going to look at that play, if things don't go our way, and say if that play is made, Venters gets you out of the inning, maybe it turns a different way. We'll see where this goes. Let's get to it.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What you got?
Hello?
Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
What's going on?
All right. Hey, listen. My Falcons, okay, our Falcons, our great city, got a great ownership, great everything. We won a Super Bowl. That's the problem. We're
not talking about this, sir. This is the game winner segment where we are not talking about your sports topics. We're talking about electric moments, but thanks for playing along. Hey, buddy, you're on the radio, but feel free to call back tomorrow. We'll get that hot take. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I was in the Dome when Goldberg beat Hogan for the championship, and any time Mike Vick took off, that was electric when he was running. But I remember when I was a kid, sitting in the end zone at Fulton County Stadium and watching number 21 fumble his first punt return attempt, and it was like, Dad, come. But the second attempt, he fumbled it again. But when Deion Sanders picked that ball up and took it to the house, that was electric.
Right on, brother. And by the way, this gets back to some guys getting their feelings when you bring up like the ghost of number 7. You can embrace and remember the great moments, you know, and still love your current quarterback and everything else that's happened since he left. But, Carl, when Mike Vick came back in 2003 and he's got no helmet on, standing there with his arms crossed, that was electric. No, Squid was there, too. It was unbelievable. You couldn't hear yourself think, and the Georgia Dome goes on to a win with that amazing dive to the goal line against Carolina. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Electric moments for you when you were there. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
All right, I got two. One was the year the Panthers went to the Super Bowl when Julio Jones reaches over Luke Kuechly, grabs the ball, runs into the end zone.
Right.
My number two was the first time that Atlanta United went down to Orlando City for a game, and Tito Villalba, the Lions Slayer, just rocketed into the back of the net from outside the 18.
Good call.
That was high quality, man. That was Premier League quality. Our man Craig, who's a huge United fan, is nodding his approval on that take. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. What do you got for an electric moment, and you were there to see it?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I guess it would probably be the whole 2016 playoff run to the Super Bowl. Got season tickets, and that was the craziest, especially the NFC Championship, craziest I've seen the Dome ever. And I could have fixed my car and sold my tickets. Did not. And still don't have a car, but if I could go back, I'd make the same decision because that was, it's all about the experience.
Yeah, right, man. On, brother. That's you a fan. Up. You're a fan, brother. That's
like
it,
that.
Man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
The two I can think of. One, back when I was in high school, watching Roger Craig fumble on the 1 yard line that caught the Niners going to the Super Bowl against the Giants. Secondly, being in the house when one of the greatest NCAA basketball games of all time was with seeing Duke almost lose on the half-court shot when they played against Baylor. And seeing the Duke fans kind of whip their pants as the ball hits the rim and it's kind of a couple inches going out, going in, going out. That was.
Are we talking about basketball? Also, guys, how about when Mercer beat Duke? For all the Mercer Bears fans down south of Macon.
That was awesome.
That was unbelievable,
too. It was.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. We're talking about electric moments because we had one last night with the Acuna Grand Slam. What do you got?
Hello?
I said, what do you got?
That's you, man.
What do you got, man?
Hey, I got two.
Go ahead.
July 4th, 1985, Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Longest game in Major League history.
Mm.
The second one is March 26, 1994, at the Omni, when Dominique Wilkins came back and we gave him an 11-minute standing ovation.
Wow. After Stan Kasten stupidly decided to trade him to the Clippers for Danny Manning, Carl, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, that's one that still people are PO'd about, and rightfully so.
Good call. So some good Atlanta sports memories in the mix there, boys.
We'll be hopefully getting more sports memories here as we approach the playoffs with the United and the Braves currently in the playoffs. We'll give you an update coming up, guys. Tomorrow, big show for you here on a Tuesday as we work through this loss to the Steelers and work our way towards getting ready for the Bucks with the Falcons. Lots more to get to. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.